Turn with me, if you would, please, in the Word of God to Revelation in chapter 22. Now, while you're turning there, I want to make a deal with you. I promise not to try not to fall asleep. If you'll promise to try not to fall asleep after such tales of sleeping. A very interesting experience a couple of weeks ago talking about sleeping in unusual places. I was sitting at a traffic light in Southern California on 70th Street, about to cross El Cajon Boulevard, and fell asleep at the traffic light. My wife, very much concerned, looked at me, and I woke up just about the time that the light turned green. So that's my most recent sleeping experience. I'll try to be more careful choosing my places to sleep in the future. I want to echo, before we come to the Word of God to read it, the words of my brother and fellow laborer in the Southwestern ministry of this morning, that it is indeed good to be home. Some people have a hometown. They can go back to Lexington or Lansdale or someplace else and say, "This is my hometown. I grew up here." I never had one of those. We moved around quite a bit. When I came to Greenville, it became my home. The university with which my father was associated, and eventually the Free Presbyterian Church, became what is for me a hometown. And as I have come back this last time, it has come home to me probably more so than ever that these people, you people, are my people. You are my hometown. And this is my home church. And it'll be hard to leave. But we're doing the will of God, you see. And we are going to home eventually. Home to glory soon. To see the city bright. And we won't be separated by half a world or half a block. We'll be there at the throne. Now, I have this opportunity one last time to speak in Greenville. What is, my wife will tell you, for me, probably the most intimidating of experiences for me in the presence of august personages. But it's the Word of God, after all, isn't it? And the Lord's given a message, and now we need to see what God has to say from His Word this evening to us. Over and over, the Lord has confirmed this message to my own heart throughout the past days. And even as late as just before I walked out onto the platform this evening, there was one word after another to confirm that this is the Lord's message for tonight. And so let's look into the Word of God. Revelation in chapter 22. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it, either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The word of God open before us. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer, asking Him to meet with us. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, Master and Friend, we pray that now Thou wilt meet with us, Thy people. We confess unto Thee we are weak, but Thou art strong. We confess unto Thee that we have nothing except what we receive from Thee. We need to hear from Thee tonight. We praise Thee for the fresh bread from the ovens of heaven this morning. But Lord, we confess we need to eat again. Now, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt fill me with Thy Spirit, that Thy Holy Spirit would come and do that work for which He is well known, to take the things of Christ and show them unto us, save the lost, edify the saints. Let it be an hour of meeting with our God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text of Scripture I want to draw to your attention this evening is the last verse of this chapter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now this is the last word. The last book in the Bible, the last chapter in that book, the last verse of that chapter. And here it is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Apostle John was an old man by now. By the time he wrote these words, I'm certain. Exiled to the Isle of Patmos, there perhaps laboring even in his old age in the salt mines that are there. And as God gave him grace, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so he wrote. Line upon line, word after word, moved by the Holy Ghost, chapter by chapter, so he moved through the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ until he came to the last chapter, the last bit that God would have him write. And now he's down to the last few lines. So how will it end? How will it end? How will the Holy Spirit of God close this canon of Scripture? What words will he use? I believe the Holy Spirit of God, as he wrought upon John, brought him certainly to write these words that we find in the last portion of this chapter. This is the last word that God would have us read as we close his book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now I come to you this evening, probably with a last opportunity, barring some providence of God, to preach to you, the people who I love, in a very special way. And so I want you to hear this last word of our God to his churches. The Holy Spirit moved him, and so he wrote. To whom are these words addressed? If you look with me over in verse 6 of this same chapter, he says, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." So this is a word to his servants. Servants, perhaps in the broadest sense of the term, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been saved, who have come to know forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus. He goes on and elaborates a little farther on. If you turn over to verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." So it's to his servants, and it's a testimony that's given forth in the churches. So we can take this text of Scripture this evening, those of us who are saved, those of us who are here in the churches, and apply them unto ourselves in a very specific way. And so, in a very plain way, this is to the people of God this evening, and yet as well, I realize that this is a gospel service. And were it not a gospel service, I would take the same line. For I believe that there's a word here this evening for any of you who are here that are out of Christ as well. And I want to make sure before we leave this evening that the invitation of the gospel is clear and plain, and that you don't go away tonight wondering about the gospel, wondering about salvation. That the Lord would deal with you this evening if you're lost, and that you would be saved before you walk out that door tonight. We see in this text of Scripture, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Something that warms, I believe, the heart of every child of God. For you see, we know something, don't we? We know that for life and for death and for facing eternity, what we need, what I need, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. That's what I want us to look at about this text this evening. Because we have life now.
Death is coming, so it shall. We'll face eternity all the way along the line from start to finish. What we need is grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this text with me this evening and think back. Those of you who are saved, because we sang about it this evening, it was the grace of Christ that brought us to salvation. It was the grace of Christ that brought us to salvation. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Old John Newton wrote that. Now, John Newton knew something about being a wretch. I read his autobiography this last year in his works. He was a man who dealt in misery, other people's misery. Blasphemer. Used to make up dirty little songs and teach them to the other sailors. Was so miserable a wretch that they would boot him from one ship to another. Back in the days when men were rough out on the seas. A wretch. A slave trader and a slave himself. And when he sang of amazing grace, after God had saved him, after God had brought him out of darkness into light, after the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ had been shed abroad in his heart, he could sing of amazing grace. He could sing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He who could have counted himself like Paul to be a chief of sinners. God had put into the ministry, and he could look back over his life and say, amazing. Amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And that's just the man that wrote the song. There are a whole lot of other people that could sing of amazing grace tonight. Abraham, pagan, Ur of the Chaldees, living out without a thought of God, and then God revealed himself unto him. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amazing grace. And Moses, drawn out of the Nile, the recipient of amazing grace. And David, taken from the sheepfolds, writing the sweet Psalms of Zion. Songs that over and over again point us to the amazing grace which we have received. Coming out of the Scripture and going all the way along history, generation upon generation, we can point to those who can sing of amazing grace. We can lift up our eyes from this earth and from this day and time and look into the seventh chapter of Revelation where God has given us grace to see. And there, what do we see? We see a great multitude which no man can number. People from every climate, people from every race, people from every tribe, people from every trade, people from every vestige of education. And where are they? They're standing around the throne. And they're robed in robes of white, with palms in their hands. Row upon row upon row upon row. A great multitude which no man can number. And what are they speaking of? They're speaking of amazing grace. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Amazing. Amazing grace. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that brought us to salvation. How is it that we sing of amazing grace? How is it that we can even talk about it? We talk about amazing grace tonight, not because we heard about it in a story.
but because we know it firsthand. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. Amazing grace. Poor, wretched, vile sinners that we are, yet the recipients of such an amazing grace. We, the people of God tonight, can sing about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last word in the Word of God speaks to us of grace. Now I want to stop for a moment speaking to the people of God and speak to those of you who are here who don't know the Savior. So many people have come and gone in Greenville since the days when we first left. There is no way that I can know the spiritual condition of every one of you here. But I do know this. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if the grace of God has never been shed abroad in your heart, if you've never known what it is to be brought out of sin unto salvation, if you've never known what it means to have your guilt removed, if you don't know what it is to be able to look at the world around you through the eyes of grace, then that's what you need this evening. I may never, ever have another opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and tell you this one thing, so I will tell you now. If you are lost, you are in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. And before you walk out this door tonight, not for my sake, not because I have persuaded you, for I seek not converts, but I would ask you this evening to consider, is not grace what you need tonight? You may be aged. You may be young. You may think you've got life ahead of you. You may have career plans. I don't know where you are, what your situation is, but I know this, if you're out of Christ tonight, you need for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to have its effect on you. You need to be saved before you leave this place. And I would encourage you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. For you see, it's the grace of Jesus Christ that brought us to salvation. And He'll bring you. He'll bring you. You may say, well, I'm not the one to come. Too bad, too evil, too many deeds behind me. No. From the woman at the well who'd had five husbands and the man with whom she was living was not her husband, to Nicodemus the moral man, no, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace reached to every one of them. And His grace is for you tonight. Come to Christ. While you're here, while there's time, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us to salvation. Let it bring you to salvation tonight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let me now switch back then again to talk to those of you who are Christians. Because, and I understand I'm using grace in a bit of a different way here, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that upholds us in every trial. Grace doesn't stop with salvation. It'd be a shame if it did, wouldn't it? But it doesn't stop with salvation. There's the grace that brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's the grace of Christ that upholds us through every trial. You see, there's a life that extends beyond conversion. You're saved and then life goes on. Day by day, with whatever toil you have and whatever responsibilities you have. For the past 6 years, my responsibilities took me to Contractor Steel and then International Iron Products. And that was every day in the pit with the world and the flesh and the devil. And the rock and roll and all the things that hell has to throw at you. That's where my responsibilities took me. That was my mission field. And that's where I lived. You live someplace else. You may be a tradesman, a businessman, a housewife, but your life goes on. In salvation, when you're saved, your life in Christ begins, but your life here on earth continues right on. And that life is not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he knew about hardships. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, he writes and talks about the labors that he had in the ministry and what difficulties he faced through all the years that he was serving God hither and yon. And he had received of the Jews 5 times 40 stripes save one, and he was beaten with rods, and he was stoned, and thrice he had suffered shipwreck, and he had spent a night and the day in the deep. And in journeyings he had been often, traveling here and there, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, he says, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides all that, there was the care of the churches, he says in the next verse. And as if all of this was not enough for the Apostle Paul to bear, he goes on in chapter 12 and he starts to talk about his thorn in the flesh. That thing that stuck him all the time. You ever get a thorn in the flesh? Steel slivers? Wood slivers? Go out and pick the roses sometime. Grab a good handful and you'll see the thorns in the flesh. The thorns in the flesh. Not something that could be pulled out with a pair of tweezers. No, the thorn in the flesh was there. Besides all else that Paul suffered, the thorn in the flesh was there. And he asked the Lord 3 times that the Lord would take it away from him. If you look over in chapter 12, just a little farther on in that passage, you'll see he talks about this thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him was given to him. And he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. And what did God answer? Oh, Paul, well, I'll take that away from you right away. It's gone, Paul. No. No, life went on. And the thorn was still there. So what then was his answer when he prayed that the Lord would take away that thorn 3 times? My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Children of the living God, you are going to have trials. I don't know what your trials will all be. It may be the trial of physical affliction. It may be the trial of a difficult home circumstance. It may be the trial of difficulties with your labors, with your career. I can't tell. The differences within this congregation and this body of our trials and tribulations are vast. I could not tell you what your trials and tribulations are going to be. But you're going to have them. You are going to have them, and I don't speak as a prophet of doom. You probably know what they are already, many of them. You could speak with much authority for perhaps more authority than I this evening about trials and tribulations. Well, we are going to have trouble in this life. And it is through much tribulation that we will enter the kingdom. But I can tell you this. Though I can't tell you what your trials are, though I can't understand perhaps that which wrenches your heart most, when you are at home and the doors are shut and no one else can hear or see and the tears flow and you say, I don't think I can bear it, not another minute. I can't tell you what those things are going to be or how. I can't even empathize perhaps in some cases. But I can tell you this. On the authority of the Word of God, His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace will hold you up through every trial. You may lose a child. You may lose a leg. You may lose a job. You may lose family. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will hold you up. Will hold you up. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We're going forth pretty soon. I'm going to take a wife and three children halfway around the world. I am going not because I want to go and be a tourist in Australia. I'm going because it is the will of God. And that is very plain. Never in my life have I been more sure of anything being the will of God than I am sure of this. How shall I go? You people know me. You people saw me grow up, many of you. How in the world will I ever do it? Through whatever trials I face in Australia, what will my family do? How will they face it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. It's sufficient in Greenville. It's sufficient in Wyala. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the grace that allows us to face life and death and eternity. It is the grace of Christ that gives us power in life and in death. The cycle of life goes on. Generation upon generation come and go. And in each generation, a torch is carried. And that torch is passed from one generation to another. One falls and another arises. One goes down and another comes up. One man's sunset is another man's dawn. And in the midst of all this changing scene of life, this cycle of life, how are we going to adjust? I've come back to Greenville to find the people that I worked with at South Carolina Steel. Many of them are dead. They found Hubie in his apartment. He'd been dead for 3 days. Another man they found, dead of a heart attack at 36. Another man with whom I worked died this last year in November. Another man 2 months ago went out into eternity. Right along, the cycle of life moves on. Generations pass by. How are we going to adjust to all of this? Those of us, especially those of us who really don't like change at all. How are we going to adjust to life like this? Well, the Apostle Paul in the second epistle to Timothy was writing. He was writing to his son in the faith. And as he was writing to his son in the faith, he was writing as an aged father. He was writing to a young man. He was writing to a man perhaps in the prime of his life and at the height of his ministry. Paul had taken him under his wing years before. He was his son in the faith. They were close. And now he's writing what is, in practical fact, the last will and testament of this apostle. What is he going to say to this son in the faith? How is he going to speak to him as he passes the torch from his hand to Timothy's hand? Well, he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." These are words for life from a man who was facing death. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was facing a lot of things in the churches. Fights, difficulties, persecutions, imprisonments. The care of all the churches which had been Paul's was now going to be his in many ways. How was he going to do it? This life that stretched before him, a young man, thoroughly intimidated, I'm sure. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy, is going to lead you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy, is what's going to uphold you. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, it'll be grace that'll float you all the way through and buoy you up in the midst of a raging sea of life while I face death. The Apostle Paul, imprisoned in the Mamertine prison, was going to face death. How was he going to face death while Timothy faced life? Well, he was going to face it with grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, we find him speaking. And he says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." You're not ready to be offered without grace. Without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ imparted to you, you can't say, "I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." He was ready to face it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ had been manifested unto him. And in verse 16 and 17, he was talking about the death that he would face. And the death that he was facing was one that he was going to go to alone. He had already been left alone. Verse 16 and 17, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go with him when he went out to put his head on the block and the Roman legionnaire lifted the sword overhead. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to give him grace to face death and to face the eternity that was beyond. For he knew whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that he is able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. He was not afraid. Not put off by the prospect of facing death. No, he was ready. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 18, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And his last words to Timothy, what are they? Words of grace.
grace be with you. Amen.
Grace be with you, Timothy. Read the verse, David. The last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace. Grace. I went to visit two widows yesterday. For this last year, Carl passed away. I was sorry, and I was glad to see him go. Sorry because I'll miss him. Glad because the Lord gave him grace to face eternity. The Lord gave him grace to die. He went into an operation. I sat down with Mrs. Medlin yesterday, and she said, Carl knew he would never come out of that operation. He grasped my hand as they wheeled him in and said, if I do not return, I will wait for you there. The Lord gave Carl Medlin grace to die, grace to face eternity. I left Carl Medlin's house and went to the home of another man with whom I worked as well at South Carolina Steel. His name was Paul Smith. I met his widow in the driveway on her way to work. And I said, I came by to just pay my respects. I'm so sorry about Paul. 2 months ago, Paul Smith was sitting in his house watching television. He was a veteran of the Vietnam War and was watching a film about Vietnam. He had lost his job because of drinking and making mistakes. And Paul got up from where he was watching television, no doubt in a drunken state, went into his back bedroom and shot and killed himself. And tonight, Paul Smith, my friend, is doubtless in hell. And I remember the days when I worked with him. And I remember the days I spoke to him about salvation. And Carl himself went over after he got saved and spoke to Paul about his soul. But you see, when it came down to it in the last hour, Paul, in his perversity, refused to embrace Christ as he was offered to him in the gospel. And he didn't have grace. He wasn't ready to face eternity. Not in the least. Two widows. Two men now in eternity. One with Christ. And doubtless one without. How shall we face death? How shall we face eternity? I tell you this, if you're a child of God, they may wheel you in to an operation from which you may never return. But you can face it all with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can face it all. Your life, your death, and your eternity. If you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no more ready to face eternity than Paul Smith was on the night that I lost him. Grieves my soul. Grieves my soul. And it would grieve me tonight to have those of you who are here out of Christ go out of here without Him. You need Him. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you The Lord Jesus Christ, by His grace, will redeem your life from destruction. The Lord Jesus Christ will keep you through every trial you ever face. He'll give you grace to live. He'll give you grace to die. He'll give you grace to face eternity. And I would just close with this one invitation to those of you who are lost to come and become partakers of free and sovereign grace as it's freely offered to you in the gospel. For those of you who are saved tonight, which we will soon leave, I would say this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Father, O God of grace, which saved us from our sins, bring the souls that are lost to Thee, O Christ, tonight. And give Thy people grace. As your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed, I'll just say this one thing. I don't know you all, but my desire is that if you're out of Christ, you should be saved tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you could throw a rock in any direction and hit two or three preachers. Any one of them would be glad to sit down and open the Word of God and talk to you about your soul. Your minister here would be glad to open the Word of God and talk to you about your soul. If you're lost tonight and you want to be saved, speak to one of us before you leave. We'll be glad to get alone with you and open the Word of God that you might know what it is to have the grace of God shed abroad in your heart before the night is done. See us on the way out. Don't go away without Jesus. Don't go away. Please don't go away without Jesus. Now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.